Word Training Center. Once again, we're teaching on the subject out of the book Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. Now, I must say to you tonight, and even some of the material that I shared with you later on last evening, is not contained in your book Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. But because I want to make sure, because Apostle have been talking about us being a supernatural people, because we belong to a supernatural God, I wanted to make sure that when it comes to these nine manifestations of the Spirit, that you understand fully and completely what each of them are and how, through the scriptures, we can see them being made manifest. So with that in mind, just pay attention, go over these classes again and again, because you could never exhaust the Word of God. So Father, tonight, we're so thankful for Apostle Leroy Thompson, the apostolic call that's upon his life, for these students who are here in this school of ministry, seeking to learn more of you. As you said in St. John 3:30, he must increase, we must decrease. So we thank you for the Holy Spirit who will help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we begin to talk to you about the gift of prophecy. And so tonight we're going to pick up with the gift of prophecy. You're not going to find this material again in your books. So pay attention. You know, read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 1 through 11, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in its entirety. Actually, read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because 1 Corinthians 12 deals with the nine manifestations of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13 deals with the motive for operating not only in the gifts of the Spirit, but your motive for operating in everything in life, and that is love. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the proper use of prophecy in the scriptures. So we're going to begin tonight with, again, looking at the gift of prophecy.
Prophecy is the most important.
Prophecy is the most important of the three gifts
of inspiration.
Or utterance.
The reason it's the most important.
The reason that prophecy is the most important
is because it takes the other two.
Diverse kinds of tongues.
And the interpretation of tongues. To equal
prophecy.
Paul said,
Greater is he
that prophesieth
than he that speaketh with tongues.
Except he interpret.
Inferring that to speak with tongues
and to interpret
is equivalent to prophecy.
Therefore, prophecy is really the most important
of these three gifts
of inspiration or of utterance.
Prophecy is supernatural utterance
in a known tongue.
Diverse kinds of tongues
is a supernatural utterance
in an unknown tongue.
Interpretation of tongues
is a supernatural showing forth
of that which has been said in tongues.
Now remember, I told you interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues means that this is a supernatural utterance interpreting what the Spirit is saying to the people present.
The Hebrew word
that is translated
to prophesy
means to flow forth.
It carries the thought
to bubble forth like a fountain,
to let drop,
to lift up,
to tumble forth,
to spring forth.
The Greek word
that is translated for prophecy
means to speak for another.
It means to speak for or on the behalf of another.
It means to speak for God.
It means to speak for God.
Or to be his or to be God's spokesman.
Gift of prophecy for all.
The gift of prophecy is for all.
1 Corinthians 14:1-5.
That's 1 Corinthians 14:1-5.
Follow.
Notice what he say, follow after charity. Now we leave in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. So now he says, follow after charity
and desire,
covet spiritual gifts,
but rather that you may prophesy.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue
speaketh
not unto men,
but unto God.
For no man understandeth him.
Howbeit
in the spirit,
he speaketh
mysteries.
But he that prophesieth
speaketh unto men
to edification,
to exhortation,
and to comfort.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue
edifieth himself.
But he that prophesieth
edifieth
the church.
Paul
said, I would that you all spake
with tongues.
But I rather that you prophesy.
For greater
is he that prophesieth
than
he that speaketh with tongues,
except
he interpret.
That
the entire church or the entire people present might be built up or edified.
In this passage of scripture,
Paul tells us
to desire spiritual gifts,
but especially that we might prophesy.
That doesn't mean we are not to desire.
That does not mean that we're not to desire
the other gifts.
But rather that we may put this gift first. Now, you remember in previous classes, we told you that the prophecy gift is the gateway to the other six functioning in their full flow.
At the end of this chapter,
Paul repeated,
Wherefore, brethren,
covet to prophesy.
Thus Paul,
writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
emphasize the importance
of prophecy.
The gift of prophecy
in the prophet's ministry.
The simple gift of prophecy
should not or never be confused
with the prophetic office.
But he that prophesieth
speaketh unto men
to edification,
exhortation,
and comfort.
Thus, we can readily see
that in the simple gift of prophecy,
there is absolutely no revelation. In the office of a prophet,
however, we can often find
revelation coming forth,
even by prophecy.
It is also interesting
to note the difference
between prophecy
in the Old
and in the New Testament.
In the Old Testament,
prophecy is essentially
foretelling
future events.
Whereas in the New Testament,
it shifts strongly
to forthtelling. In the simple gift of prophecy,
there is no foretelling. Notice that Paul
is telling the entire church at Corinth
to covet to prophesy
and to desire spiritual gifts, but also to desire spiritual gifts.
But rather that you may prophesy.
Yet Paul had just gotten through
telling them in the 12th chapter
of 1 Corinthians
that God had set in the church
first apostles,
secondarily prophets,
thirdly teachers,
Then Paul asked.
Are all apostles?
He asked this question. Are all apostles?
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
Are all prophets?
Are all
prophets? No.
The answer is no.
They couldn't be.
They could not be.
If prophesying made you a prophet,
then Paul would be contradicting himself.
However,
the fact that you have prophesied
doesn't make you a prophet.
It does not make you a prophet.
It means that you have exercised.
It means that you have simply exercised
the simple gift of prophecy.
For example, a rich man has money.
All of us have
some money.
But that doesn't make us rich.
But that does not make us rich.
By the same token,
a prophet will prophesy.
But one who prophesies
would not necessarily be a prophet.
A prophet, for example,
would have more of the gifts of the Spirit
in operation.
Than just the simple gift of prophecy.
He would have revelation gifts.
Operating along with the gift of prophecy.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14, verse 29. Let the prophets.
Notice that. Let the prophets be two or three.
And let the other prophet judge.
And then in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 30,
he said,
if anything be revealed to another
that sitteth by,
that is another prophet.
Let the first hold his
peace.
Here he's talking about revelation. The prophet would have these other revelation gifts.
Operating.
Thus,
to stand in the office of a prophet,
a person must have operating
in his ministry
the gift of prophecy
plus at least two out of the other three revelational gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits.
Therefore,
we should not confuse the office
of the prophet
with the simple gift of prophecy,
which all believers
are told to covet.
All can have the gift of
prophecy
because God would not have told us
to covet something
that was not available to us.
All can prophesy.
But we cannot all be prophets.
In Acts chapter number 21,
we see a scriptural illustration
of the gift of prophecy
and manifestation.
Acts chapter 21, verses 8 through 11.
And the next day,
we who were of Paul's company,
we departed.
And we came unto Caesarea.
And when we entered into the house of Philip,
the evangelist,
which was one of the seven,
and we abode with him.
And the same man
had four daughters,
virgins,
which did prophesy.
And as we tarried there
many days,
there came down from Judea
a certain prophet
named Agabus.
And when Agabus was come unto us,
he took Paul's girdle
and he bound his own hands and his own feet.
And he said,
now watch this. Thus saith the Holy Ghost,
so shall the Jews at Jerusalem
bind the man
that owneth this girdle
and shall deliver him
into the hands of the Gentiles.
Note that all four
of Philip's daughters
had the simple gift
had the simple gift of prophecy.
These young women,
they must have prophesied
in the services
held in their house.
Otherwise,
Paul and his company
would not have known
that they had prophesied.
They spoke to the whole company
to edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Evidently,
they never prophesied directly to Paul.
When the prophet Agabus came,
however,
he had something
on a higher order or
on another level,
which brought forth revelation concerning specifically Paul and his life.
Therefore,
we see that the prophet
may prophesy,
but the message he brings
may not be prophesying
at all.
It may come through the gift of prophecy
as he just speaks forth what he has
from the Lord,
saying,
"Thus saith the Lord."
In Acts chapter 21,
verses 10 and 11,
it was one of the revelation gifts,
the word of wisdom
in operation
through the gift of prophecy.
Keep that in mind. It was the word of wisdom
operating through the prophecy gate of the gift of prophecy that was in operation.
Some think
that to prophesy
means to preach.
All inspired utterance
is prophecy in some form
or another.
But prophecy
isn't preaching.
Sometimes
there is an element of prophecy
in preaching.
When one is anointed
by the Spirit
and is inspired to say things
which come from the heart
rather than your head.
But that is only
one phase of the operation
of the gift of prophecy.
To preach
means to proclaim
or to announce
or to cry
or to tell
the scriptural purpose
of the gift of prophecy
is different from the purpose
of preaching.
Jesus did not say
men would be saved
by the foolishness of prophesying,
but by the foolishness
of preaching.
Supernatural gifts
are given to arrest people's attention,
not to save them.
Even on the day of Pentecost,
when people were speaking or talking in tongues,
no one got saved
until Peter stood up
and he began to preach to them.
Wrong use of the gift.
Now, the wrong use of the gift of prophecy.
First Thessalonians
chapter 5,
verses 19 through 21.
Quench not the spirit,
and despise not prophesying.
Prove all things,
and hold fast to that which is good.
Another area of confusion
regarding the gift of prophecy
is caused by the misuse
of this gift.
The church at Thessalonica
had so much misuse
of the gift of prophecy,
they almost despised the gift of prophecy.
Therefore,
Paul,
writing under the unction of the Spirit of God,
had to say unto the church at Thessalonica,
despise not prophesying.
If people would use this gift,
as the Scripture teaches,
it would be a great blessing.
But some here are
But some hear a minister
who
have the prophet's ministry
bring forth revelation,
and they think they can also do that.
So they try to bring forth
some foretelling
instead of just forthtelling,
and they get into trouble.
As we saw,
the gift of prophecy
is given to edify the church.
He that prophesied
speaketh unto men
to edification
and exhortation
and comfort.
He that prophesied
edified the church.
This gift is also given
to exhort the church.
The word exhort here
means in the Greek
a calling
nearer to God.
Then our text says
the gift of prophecy
is given to comfort.
A lot of what some people call prophecy
never comforts anyone.
Rather, it discomforts, disturbs, or make them worry.
Prophecy
as used in our personal prayer lives.
The gift of prophecy,
like tongues,
has to do with more than just
a public utterance.
Prophecy can be used
in your prayer life
many times.
While you are in prayer,
God fills you with the Spirit.
And you speak with the Spirit.
And you speak in tongues.
Speaking with tongues
is the beginning of these things.
But God wants every
Spirit-filled believer
to do more than just speak with tongues.
He wants us to be able
to interpret.
And he wants us to prophesy.
Paul didn't infer
that just a few believers
would speak with tongues.
He encouraged the entire church of Corinth
to pray in tongues
and to worship God.
Then he said,
let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue
pray
that he may interpret.
God would not tell us to pray for something
we could not have.
And he also wants us
to prophesy.
Because he plainly says,
desire spiritual gifts,
but rather that you may prophesy.
Then he said,
to covet to prophesy.
Through this gift of prophecy,
we can speak supernaturally,
not only unto men,
but also unto God.
Through prophecy,
we can enjoy fellowship with God
in the Spirit,
which is beyond anything
we have known
before. How much time?
Okay, I want to give them these workable definitions of these nine manifestations of the Spirit. What I'm going to do at this time is give you, we're going to start off with the three inspirational gifts, which are the three speaking gifts, which are the three talking gifts, which is prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Okay, so let's start with the definition of prophecy.
Prophecy is the supernatural utterance
in a known tongue.
Divers kinds of tongues
is a supernatural utterance
by the Holy Spirit
in languages
Never learned by the speaker.
Not understood by the mind
of the speaker.
Nor necessarily
always understood
by the hearer.
Interpretation of tongues.
It is the supernatural showing forth
by the Spirit
the meaning of an utterance
in other tongues.
Now we're going to do the three revelational gifts.
The word of knowledge.
It is the supernatural revelation
by the Holy Spirit
of certain facts
that's in the mind of God.
The word of wisdom
is a supernatural revelation
by the Spirit of God
concerning the divine purpose
in the mind
and will of God.
God reveals his purpose
and plans
for the future
through the word of wisdom.
Discerning of spirits.
It gives insight
into the spirit world.
The power gifts.
Gifts of healing.
The purpose of the gifts of healing
is to deliver the sick
and to destroy the works
of the devil
in the human body.
The working of miracles.
A miracle
is a supernatural intervention
in the ordinary course
of nature.
It is a temporary suspension
of the accustomed order
through the Spirit of God.
Special faith
is a supernatural endowment
by the Spirit,
whereby
that which is uttered
or desired by man
or spoken by God
shall eventually come to pass.
Well, that's going to conclude this evening session. Go head on and read the next chapter in Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy, and we will